If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome back to the Gillette Health Podcast. Today, I am joined by one of our own, Cameron Blevins, our media guy, and Stormy White, a fitness expert and personal trainer and alpha class instructor extraordinaire. So with that, we're going to talk about bone lengthening surgeries. Have you guys heard of this?
I have definitely heard of it.
He's looking forward to it.
Yeah. I'm currently 6'1", hoping I can get to 6'7", maybe 7 foot.
That's easy.
Yeah.
I only know about this because Derek from More Plates, More Dates did an interview with this guy who was 6 feet tall and got to 6'6". So they basically break your bones, like your tibia and your fibia. And then you have a second surgery where you break your femurs.
Right.
And then you sort of like, I guess you put like a wrench in there and these little fixators and it slowly stretches the bone like a millimeter per day or something like that.
Yeah, I'm surprised it actually worked as well as it did. Is he still able to like squat and deadlift?
He's pretty jacked, dude. He was sitting down for the whole podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't see the wheelchair. It actually didn't work very well at all.
Yeah, no, he was in a wheelchair for a substantial amount of time. Sounds like it was not smooth. He did 11 surgeries and it was supposed to be like 3 or 4.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, I would definitely not do that.
Now that we have our intro out of the way, we'll talk about some actual stuff. So let's go over both of your credentials. So I did not know this until we started the podcast. Cameron is also a personal trainer.
Yep. I'm a personal trainer.
I'm going to start with Stormy. So you've been a personal trainer for how long? How did you get into that? And what are your certifications?
Oh, goodness. 2012 is when I started. Got into it. I've been in the gym playing sports my entire life. So when the opportunity came to get a personal training certification and then apply at the gym, at 24 Hour Fitness is where I started. That's how I got into it. So what was the third part of that question?
I guess credentials credentials. What the certifying body is. So NASM, yeah, right? Yeah. There's a handful of them out there.
There's quite a few. Essentially, NASM and NCSF. I have both of those, just personal training, just those types of certifications. And then a couple other ones from NASM, USAW weightlifting, precision nutrition. That was quite a while ago. So there's some.
In the weightlifting, is that like the Olympic weightlifting, mm-hmm. like more technique and biomechanic intensive
stuff? I mean, focuses on clean and jerks and snatches, how to do them, how to coach them, cue them, that sort of thing.
Was that all online?
Nope, it was an in-person. It was definitely in person.
Was yours all online?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I also had open book tests.
Yeah, it was open book.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, Cameron, what credentialing body proctored your exam?
Yeah, well, I actually have none of the ones that he just mentioned. Mine was online through ISSA.
That was my first one.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never applied it. I never trained anyone with it. But I did get it in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. I do think I could have done it without it for sure.
Did you recertify or has it expired?
Oh, it expired a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're in your fifth year as an expired personal trainer.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's fun. What would you each consider your best accomplishments in fitness, athletics? So this could be sports, or I know you've both participated in CrossFit style competitions. So what's sort of at the top of the list for you?
Wall walk king over here.
Yeah, really? I was good at it.
Yeah, you're super fast.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Out of everything I've done, all the sport, like the thing I'm most proud of is probably all the people that I've helped accomplish things that they didn't think were possible or think that even was probably never even crossed their mind, you know, push themselves to a point that they didn't think they could push themselves and come out the other side a better person physically, mentally, emotionally. Those are the things that drive me now. Those are the things I'm most proud of every time I get a story like that. Better than any kind of weight I ever lifted, any placement I ever got. So that's where I'd have to roll.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really good.
And for you, Cameron, it's the wall walks?
Or? It's not the wall walks. And I wish I had an answer like you did, but I would say mine is last year on a DEXA scan, I got under 7% body fat. Yours is a lot better than mine is for sure.
Okay. Well, what about the random people that you give advice to? Like, have you seen some dramatic transformations
in
people at church or people that you just talk to at the gym that ask you for advice?
Yeah. Random people for some reason do come up to me, at least somewhat random, about advice. Usually not about training. Usually about like hair loss or like testosterone replacement therapy. Again, I have zero credentials. and they'll ask like, hey, you know, what's something I could do to help improve my hair loss? I'd be like, oh, well, you could consider talking to your provider about taking finasteride or dutasteride. Or if you don't want to, you know, you could also come to me and I could just give it to you under the table. That's obviously a joke. I wouldn't do that. In terms of diet, too, diet people, they do ask me about like carnivore diet and keto.
All right. So what's your first piece of, let's say for both of you guys. So somebody comes up to you and they're like, hey, you know, I'm training regularly. Yep. I'm in the gym. I'm sleeping well. Like, what's the biggest piece of dietary advice you're going to give someone if they're like, hey, I just want to like eat a diet that's going to help me recover and improve my fitness, get jacked, et cetera?
I would say that I would say the same thing if they were trying to lose weight too. I would say spend a week tracking your calories, including like protein, carbohydrates, fats. And then based on that, you can make implements. Either if you're trying to lose weight, you can lower the calories, make sure your protein's high. Trying to gain weight, like muscle mass or whatever, lean mass, you'd want to increase the protein as well as the carbohydrate, at least before and after your intense workouts or whatever workout it is they're doing.
Yeah, along those lines. I've told people to track at least, like, give me 3 days of everything you're eating. Now, to make it an even more basic and quicker conversation, I'd like run down what your normal day of eating is like, just in a just tell me right now. They may not be able to recollect everything. So tracking it, sometimes if they think about it a little bit more, they can, you know, be more precise. But you got to start with wherever they're at to know what you can tweak and change. But it's usually basic stuff like that. So nothing crazy, nothing what they think. Like you said, the carnivore diet, keto, like, well, should I do this?
Those were the answers I was hoping for.
Yeah. My first thing is like, well, have you done the basic stuff first?
Yeah, really.
So starts there.
That's a good point that you said, you know, people don't necessarily remember what they ate like yesterday, right? If I eat the same things every day, so that's easy for me. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. But for most people, if you say, well, what did you eat for each meal the last 3 days? They probably don't remember. They're probably not tracking that.
Right.
So you can't really change what you aren't measuring. I mean, I guess you can try to eat healthier and that sort of thing. But I do think that measuring and getting some sort of a
baseline
makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can look at things like, are they actually getting enough protein? Are they getting plenty of protein, but they're getting too much of everything? It's a whole bunch of things we can go down there. This will be a fun one. Do you really need a personal trainer?
I would say, as Kyle and you say a lot, it depends. It depends on what the person's starting at. If they're starting with zero experience in the gym and they're looking for just confidence and like learning how to lift properly, as well as like good splits, then I would say it'd be in their best interest to meet with someone that has all of that information for them. If they're kind of mediocre and they can probably just get a lot of this information online on proper lifts. And it also kind of depends on what they're training for as well.
Yeah. Personal trainer per se, personal trainer, coach, mentor, something like that, who's has the experience going through things. I mean, like I learned the majority of my stuff from my high school football coaches, like that's where it started. And then, you know, buddies that I worked out with in college that were obsessed with learning stuff. So they would take stuff online, stuff they already knew from our strength and conditioning coaches, and then, you know, take it from there, you know. But that's kind of where it started. So yeah, if you're brand new, I mean, it's probably best you have somebody. Doesn't have to be necessarily be a personal trainer, no. But if it has somebody who knows some of the basics of being in the gym and that sort of thing. That's probably where you should start. Somebody, and it depends on goals too. If it's somebody who has been working out a while and has specific goals they want to reach and they can't reach them, then you need to be with somebody who knows why you're not reaching them. It's probably because you're not on the right program, or maybe that person, they're jumping from program to program, which you're not going to see results that way either. So yeah, it depends.
Yeah, it does. And I think it's a good point, especially for beginners coming in, or people that are even advanced and they've hit a plateau for whatever reason. And they think that, well, now I'm 30 years old, so I just can't gain any more muscle, or I can't get any faster, or whatever that, you know, goal happens to be. So you started with your weightlifting, football. That's like me, high school football. I remember we did bench, squat, and clean 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yep. Sounds right.
Like, there was programming in there, like percentages, and if you did X weight, then you'd go up and do this much weight or this many reps next time. But that was the extent of it. Mm. Like, I'll ask Cameron, how were you introduced to weightlifting?
I was introduced in middle school from just, like, the want to lose weight. So I started with just, like, exercising cardio-wise. So I would do lots of running, lots of biking, started to lose weight. And then I wanted to start gaining muscle. So then I just started going to the YMCA with my mom. And then from there, it just progressed into what it is now, which is
so
pretty much the same.
Learning from YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube. It was mainly YouTube.
Following the biggest guy at the YMCA around and doing what he did?
Yeah, it was like, well, no, not that. it was like people like Matt Ogis or David Lade in like 2015, 2014.
Gotcha. And how would you, like, what you know about training now, like having coached people and done competition yourself, you know how to kind of get to whatever that goal is you're trying to achieve. I mean, how much more advanced is your training now compared to what you were doing in high school for the football?
Well, I mean, both of them have progressions, you know. So now it's just more, I mean, both of them were movement based, because in high school, I specifically remember the type of program, Bigger, Faster, Stronger was the name of it. So I remember, like, it's the type of stuff we did. We didn't
just
necessarily
like the movie. So you would,
yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
coach would get guys on a bunch of gear, and then
that's what
winning games.
Yeah, except we didn't win games. We were terrible.
They're missing the gear.
They missed that stuff.
but now I just no more personally. I can tweak stuff based on when my goals change here and there, like whether it's competition or if I'm trying to gain strength or whatever the goal may be. But it's all still progression based, routine based. You want to get better or something, you got to keep doing it.
So progressive overload is key. I think that's something we're all in agreement on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
And what do your weekly splits look like now? So, like, what you do on an average week for the aerobic portion, the weightlifting, the technique, all that sort of stuff. So what's an average week?
So it's, like I said, mine's more, it's more movement based now, as opposed to like muscle group based. So I do like a squat and pull, more squatty on Mondays, and then repeat that a little bit later Wednesday or Thursday. A lot of my splits depend on how much time I have and when I can fit stuff in. There's certain movements that are non-negotiable, have to be some point during the week. But then like Tuesday is going to be more hinge push. So like I normally always I try to deadlift on Tuesdays. If it doesn't happen, I'll get it in some point during the week. That's normally kind of also a Friday hinge push would also be Friday. Get the Olympic lifts in at some point during the week. Normally cleans on Monday, snatches on Wednesday, clean and jerks on Friday. That can change if I need to schedule wise. And then from a conditioning standpoint, what I've learned works best for my body right now is, and as much as I would like to just, you know, push myself every day, I can't do that, shouldn't do that. So the conditioning part usually pops up about every other day. And then like today, clean squats, like leg press, something. And then I did a Metcon at the end. Tomorrow, most likely it's going to be just more straight lifting. And maybe if I have time, I'll run outside, like do like a zone 2 run or something like that, but I'm not going to like kill myself. And that kind of like will flip flop back and forth. There's some days I literally only have like 30 or 40 minutes to work out. So sometimes that's just me deadlifting. Sometimes that's just a conditioning part. But it depends.
Yeah, it does depend. Yeah.
There are stuff that I try to get in, but every week is slightly different just because my schedule with what's going on is a little bit different. So,
yeah. What about you, Cameron?
Yeah, mine's about the same as it was when I was working out at the YMCA.
Follow the biggest guy around.
Follow the biggest guy around. Yeah, no, I would do, currently it's zero cardio, which is not good, but it's muscle dependent. So like today I have legs, it's all legs. Tomorrow is going to be chest and just chest actually. Next day is back, and the next day would be arms and shoulders. And then that just continuously repeats.
So you're doing like a four different body muscle groups.
Yes. Yeah. And then I'm going to start doing cardio, but right now I don't really need to, since that during my normal workouts, I'm getting my heart rate up to about where it would be if I was doing a high intensity run.
So you're,
that's,
you're
that just says how bad, how out of shape I am. Yeah.
Your so, heart rate gets up that high doing those kind of workouts?
Leg day, probably around 160, 180.
Yeah, sounds like you do need cardio.
You need to do some more cardio.
Yeah, I'm going to start today. Yeah.
Now, what about volume? So, like, one way that people track this, I've started doing this, is like for a target muscle. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is more on the like hypertrophy side of things mm-hmm. than a strength side of things, but it does have a component for strength. Like, are you looking at how many sets per muscle group per week you're hitting? Because, I mean, you're doing a lot of stuff that would be hitting multiple muscle groups. Mm-hmm. So, your volume is probably relatively high. But have you sat down and calculated that out, or is it something you think about?
No, so I have done that before. I used to do that. Back when I used to do kind of splits that Cameron does, then I would see what my volume was and try to progress or regress based on what week. If I had like a deload-ish week, then I would back off a little bit on the volume. But no, not anymore. It's kind of because I only have so much time anyway, and I try to listen to my body. You know, I may have a plan one day, and I come in, and it's like, that plan ain't happening today. So I'll back off a little bit for whatever's going on. So currently, no, I haven't done that, I don't do that, but I have done that in the past a long time ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily track it, but I would like to get, so for today, if it's legs, I'd like to do at least 4 to 6 exercises and then at least 4 sets of, depending on the exercise. If it's like leg extensions, 12. But relatively heavy. If it's like squat, which I don't do, but if it's like leg press, sets of 8, at least 4 sets of each exercise, but usually goes to about 5 or 6.
Gotcha. And you're not quite getting in twice. Do you take any rest days, or did I miss that?
Oh, I definitely take rest days. Yeah. Gotcha.
So you're hitting legs once per week, hitting chest once per week. Is that kind of the average cadence? Maybe a little bit more often?
Yeah. It's every once a month, a little bit more.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So at least once a week.
Gotcha. So what I've started looking at is trying to push up like biceps volume. So mm-hmm. that's just for me right now. I'm trying to rehab, get this bicep back to normal. Tore my pec, and despite sitting in the sauna and taking fish oil, this arm still shrunk down. This pec still shrunk down, despite what the influencers would tell you about saunas and fish oil. That doesn't work. But now that I'm rehabbing this, I'm trying to push the volume. So I'm up at 16 sets per week just for biceps, and that includes that doesn't include like my back movements, right? So if I'm doing like a seated cable row, which I can do now, or when I start to do chin-ups again, like obviously that's gonna have more of a bicep component. I suppose you could get really granular and track those as like a half set of bicep, but I'm just looking at like the direct work. And for me, like I don't know if you guys have muscle groups that you feel like grow faster or slower for you.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a ton of variation out there.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it's like my back and my legs, right? So the muscles you can't really see in the mirror and you don't care about. Those are the ones that grow the fastest.
Yeah.
So those are the ones that I'm going to actually back off a little bit on volume and then push the volume in other areas, which kind of have to, pace yourself because I'm prone to tendonitis. I think a lot of people do if they increase the volume too quickly.
Correct.
So I'm adding a couple sets per week. Biceps to the delts, chest. I'm actually doing chest every day technically, because I'm maxing out with the 8-pound dumbbell here. You can recover from that every day. Mm-hmm. But if I was doing like sets of heavy, dumbbell bench, you can't recover from that every day. So, what do you guys think about that volume based approach? I'm just going to kind of insert my clinical scenario here, and let's say my goals are to just grow biceps and delts, and I want to get 20-25 sets of each. Per week, is that a reasonable amount of volume? Is it too high? Am I going to be overtraining? Am I undertraining?
You go ahead.
I think it kind of depends on how you're feeling. Like if your left, or what arm is it? It's your left arm? No, it's your right arm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If it's extraordinarily sore and painful, I definitely would say back off. But it seems like progressive overload would make the most sense in getting it back to where it needs to be.
Oh, no, I'm not going to go up in weight. I'm just going to do more sets.
Or more set, just more sets?
No, that's a joke. Okay. I'm going up in weights and sets.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that makes the most sense.
Still a little bit behind. Like, I'm doing mismatched dumbbells and that kind of stuff.
Well, that makes sense. But if you're seeing it grow, I think it's working.
Yeah, it is starting to come back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. From your standpoint, from a hypertrophy standpoint, I mean, tracking your volume. Do you track yours? Did you say that? Like, I know you know what you're doing, but like you're trying to.
Like increase in weight?
No, volume.
No, not really. I don't track it too much, but I do kind of.
But you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I keep mind of it.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I'm trying to think back when I would have like chest days, back days, arm days and stuff. Sure. I mean, I was doing like I love doing four sets of everything or more. I don't really think three is enough.
I agree.
For most people when you're trying to do it. So I would do at least four sets of like 4 to 5 different exercises per muscle group. So we're talking 24 sets within a workout, not just in a week. But that's back when I used to lift like you do.
Yeah. And you may be hitting some of those on some weeks, like twice per week. So if it's a 4-day split or something like that, or a 5-day split where you're restarting every 5 days,
correct.
You may have some weeks where you're hitting like 50 sets for chest or something like that.
Yeah. But working up to it, like you said, wherever you started, wherever you're at, and you're still continuing to work.
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of continue to inch up until, you know, I feel like, okay, I need to back off. Or until my delts and biceps just get too big, and I'm like, okay, we got to balance this out. So we'll see what happens there. What about doing an extra rep on the smaller side? Like everyone has like little imbalances, right? So let's say you're doing curls, do an extra rep on that side, it evens it out.
I don't think, no, not the extra rep thing. I don't think so because I think.
Well, I don't think it makes much of a difference.
Yeah, no. I think what matters more is how like, when we talk about like reps in reserve, like how close to failure you are. Mm-hmm. Like, is that one extra rep mean anything? Or is it just like one extra rep? Or is it, you know, as long as, when I talk about hypertrophy with people, like, yes, going to failure sometimes is a good thing to implement. But if you can stay within like 1 to 2 reps in reserve wherever you're at, then you're probably increasing the weight along the way, then you'll see the gains you want. So does that extra rep, you know, get you in that, or is it just a waste? I'd probably say no.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I guess it's a myth that kind of floats around, and like maybe it makes people feel better mentally. It's like, oh yeah, I'm doing this,
making a difference,
evening it out.
Yeah. I like going to failure
every time
at the end of, depending on the exercise.
I'm fine with doing it, you know, if you're at the last set of whatever exercise you're doing, or if you're at the end of your workout, like, depends how often you're doing it.
I think at the end of each exercise, almost.
At the end of each, not each set, but each, like.
Like, so, like, if you're doing curls, at the end of that set of curls, like, at the end of the, like, say you did 6 sets on that 6th set, go to failure.
Okay, and then do you use that information to adjust your, like, load the next time?
Nope. No. Yeah, I just think that it's like.
Do you track your reps that you do and your sets and your weights?
Like on a piece of paper or in my head?
Or phone?
No, I don't track it all.
But you have it memorized, so you
know. I do know that it's increasing in weight throughout time. Like, say, just curls, for example. Like, it was at 25, now it's at 35. I can do 20 reps. And now I'm doing sets of 4 of 20. And then I on the last one, I'll go to failure, and then maybe next time I'll go up to 35.
So you do use that information.
Yeah, but I'll keep track of it. I just think about it.
Yeah, what I meant was if you're,
I do use that information,
as a way to like mentally, like, I need to progress because of that.
Yeah,
I think that's fine.
Yeah, and we don't have at the Lenexa Lifetime or Overland Park, we don't have the rep counters on the machines, do we?
Oh my gosh, I don't think so.
Yeah, I found out about this a week ago. One of my friends sent me a picture of it's Des Moines, Iowa. They have a Lifetime there with rep counters.
Really?
So, like, oh, wow.
At first I was like, oh, that's silly. Like, I cut my rest. But then I'm thinking, like,
kind of nice.
And if I'm doing, like, let's say I did hack squats and then leg press, and then I'm finishing with belt squats. Mm-hmm. Like, by the time I get to belt squats, I'm going to be like, what rep am I on? So, like, in that scenario, I could see, okay, that actually would be useful.
How do they work?
I assume they just track, like, it probably only works for machines.
That's what I'm saying. It counts for you.
I don't think it tracks dumbbells.
Basically, it's going to count, like, whatever you're starting.
Test of the dumbbell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's whatever your starting movement is for the machine.
That makes sense.
And then you reach that again, and it's just going to, like,
that would be helpful. Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, well, that's Like at first, I was kind of skeptical, but I'm like, that is kind of cool technology. So maybe it'll trickle down here to Kansas.
The Nexus and Light, Overland Park.
What about CrossFit? CrossFit's definition is something like constantly varied high intensity training.
High intensity functional movements.
Functional movements.
That's what it says.
Doesn't seem very functional to me. I have a lot of opinions on CrossFit.
So what are your opinions?
Yeah. I hate it for two reasons. One.
But didn't you do a CrossFit competition?
Yes.
What's going on here?
Kyle said that if I do not do this competition with him, I am fired. No,
for legal reasons, that's a joke.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. He did not say that to me. But he did pressure me a little bit. And I do not regret doing it.
I thought you did great.
Yeah, thank you. I think that it's kind of, I had like the David Goggins mindset where it's like, oh, I hate it so much that I love it. But I don't like CrossFit as a whole. For one reason, personal reason would be, I think it's hard and stupid and I don't like doing it because of that.
Okay.
Second reason I don't like it is because it is stupid. And I think a lot of the movements are dangerous and overall are not functional. Like, I don't think kipping pull-ups or anything over the head while standing and like trying to do it as fast as possible would be my two examples. So kipping pull-ups and then anything over the head that's heavy and you're trying to do that as fast as possible.
I think it could be functional for one rep.
Yes.
Like, let's imagine you're like a cartoon character and you're like hanging off the edge of a cliff or you're hanging on a tree branch, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
You do one rep, but you don't need to do 15 butterfly pull-ups to be functional.
Like, yes.
To get yourself out of that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. To move large loads, long distances quickly. That's another one of their things that they like to say.
Okay.
So that's what they
do. Yeah. I do think Alpha Class is different than like, what's the other place that he goes?
On track.
Oh, yeah.
The workouts there are different. It seems like yours, the ones that I did when I was training there, they did seem more functional. And you cared really about like the way someone was doing it rather than how fast they were doing it. So I think that's a little different. I don't think you consider Alpha completely CrossFit.
No, because we're not constantly varied high intensities at high intensity of functional. We're not high intensity all the time. We're definitely not constantly varied. And then I guess the functional movements just depends on what you think functional movements are. I mean,
there's
trainers that hop up on a Bosu ball and
that's not functional.
The bar overhead, and like this is functional, but it's
Maybe necessary. If you have a lot of marbles in your house, you need to be balanced well.
That's true. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But I've done some of your classes. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, they were good.
It's a good component. It's technique intensive, right? For some of the Olympic stuff, like the cleans, the snatches, but it does incorporate a lot of ways for people to get strong. And then there's the cardio finisher at the end, at least in the classes I've gone to. So you're getting a little bit of that high intensity, which is very time efficient. And you're also getting the strength component to it. So I felt like it was well balanced. And I haven't gone to like a CrossFit box gym. I don't know what those workouts are like, but I know they do post like a workout of the day. So how does your class compare to like a workout of the day at a CrossFit gym?
Yeah. So the biggest difference is like I said, we're not constantly varied. So we do progressive overload, believe in that. You know, I remember when I got my CrossFit level one, which that's one that I have.
Another certification.
I forgot about that one.
Ding.
Yeah. And I got that because I wanted to know what the biggest differences were. So when I get this question, I can say what the difference between Alpha and CrossFit. And like there's, even though I compete and we do a lot of the stuff, there's stuff that I don't necessarily agree with all the way. We focus more on the strength side, hypertrophy, getting stronger, and then the CrossFit type stuff, like kipping pull-ups and handstand push-ups, wall walks, your favorite.
Yeah.
Those types of things are involved, but that they're not like the main thing. So we'll focus on the stuff and do the conditioning part, whereas most CrossFit gyms, they're focused on warming up, and there's just the water of the day may be just like a Metcon that we have. And they'll have accessory stuff too. And I know that there's places that will go through cycles, like week cycles of focusing on a, you know, front squat or clean or like strength. Strength stuff's built in, you know, as opposed to like maybe 10 years ago when it was just like hard as you can all the time. Super, like that's where they got the bad reputation, definitely. Things have evolved to where I think in the CrossFit community and at CrossFit gyms, like it's definitely a lot better. And depending on what programming they do, like some of it may be more similar to what we do at Alpha, but just CrossFit as a whole, that methodology is high intensity, like I say, constantly varied. They don't believe in routine. That's what I was saying at the CrossFit level one. They said routine is the enemy, where I grew up and still believe routine is your friend. If you want, like, if you want to get better at something, you need to routinely do it over and over and over and over. Whether it's learning a skill or trying to get stronger and progressively overloading that. But those would be the big differences. I know that there's not every CrossFit gym has, you know, where they just want you to go fast and heavy all the time. I mean, there's good coaches nowadays out there that will make sure that they'll do stuff correctly. I'm sure there's bad ones, but there's bad trainers out there.
Yeah.
You know, just in any profession, there's good and bad, that sort of thing. So I don't want to make it sound like we're better than them, because we're not. We're just different.
Sure.
And I mean, I've had people leave our program because they didn't exactly.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Because we did stuff too, we repeated it too much week over week. Oh, we do the same movements all the time. I don't like that. I'm going to go to a CrossFit gym where it's not like that. Okay, that's fine. If that's what you enjoy, I mean, but there's a reason why we do it. And that's what I believe. And that's what, I mean, growing up playing sports and in the weight room and stuff, it's strength and conditioning is where my basis is from when it comes to this type of programming. And so we implement that through our Alpha programming.
Yeah. I think anybody that is able to do whatever exercise or programming or type of training it is, as long as they're getting stronger in a healthy way and it's improving their lifestyle, I think that's obviously better than
absolutely
not doing it at all. I don't really care what you call it. I just don't like personally like CrossFit.
And I will say, I was, when I started as a trainer, I was in the exact
same way.
Talked so much shit on CrossFit.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Kipping pull-ups, butterfly pull-ups, they're flopping around on the bar. All they do is hurt their shoulders. I'd watch them do Olympic lifts, like in the CrossFit games, and their form's terrible. I'm like, look at these guys. They can't even do, you know. So that's how I used to talk back then. Now I understand the form doesn't matter. Form does not matter.
Okay? Yeah.
If you get hurt, just rub some dirt on it. And again, just joking.
It's a tweak.
It's just a tweak. You're pretty fine. So that's why you have two arms.
Yeah.
You only need one. Now I don't even know what I was going with that.
So what do you do if you see someone, let's say you're not training them? Question for both of you guys. So you're just at the gym, you're doing your thing, and you see somebody working out with bad form. Do you address it? Like, let's say this person is actually, it looks like they're putting themselves in danger. Like they're doing a deadlift, they're jerking and twisting on the bar.
Yeah, if that's the caveat, right? If it's putting themselves in danger, I will absolutely walk up to them and tell them how to fix it. Or a lot of times if that's happening, they probably have way too much weight on the bar. I'm like, let's back off, and then I'll show them properly how to do it. I see bad form sometimes where it's like, you're not necessarily going to hurt yourself, but you're just not going to elicit the response from that muscle that you want because your form isn't exactly correct. I don't want to be bothering people all the time. But if it's like a they're going to hurt themselves situation, I've definitely walked up to people and talked to them and then walk away and they don't listen to me. And so I'm like, okay, well, I tried.
Yeah. I would do the same thing. If it looks like they're actually going to get hurt, I would for sure tell them, you know, you probably should stop.
So basically the start of any CrossFit class, you're going to go up to
them. I'm going to up to everybody in the class. I'm like, hey, you guys got to stop that. You're going to get hurt. Yeah.
You're going to hurt.
No, but if it's just bad form, I don't think I have the credentials to go up there. And by credentials, I mean size, to critique someone else's.
Probably bigger than me.
Yeah, probably not. Critique someone's lifting style, especially if they're bigger than me. That really doesn't work out. But if they are going to get hurt, I would say something. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. We talked about training to failure already. How much pain should you feel while exercising?
Depends on what kind of pain you're talking about.
Shoulder pain.
Another it depends answer.
Yeah. Another.
Listen, it depends. Most of the answers, it really is it depends.
Yeah.
If it's like the burning sensation that you get, like that's, you can breathe through that. If it's literally like some kind of acute, I don't know, stinging pain, something that's not normally there.
So like if I'm at the bottom of a bench press and then my pec tears. Then I sit up with the bar and throw it down. And I'm in pain. Is that too much?
It is too much. You should lower the weight and try again.
Yeah. No, it wasn't as much painful as just like a wave of like, oh, this does not feel good. Like more nausea than pain, surprisingly. Yeah. Get hurt like a lot for a little bit. And then it was kind of like, okay, now I just feel nauseous. Mm-hmm. But like with the, it's not the lactic acid technically, it's the hydrogen atoms that build up and create this acidic environment and cause the muscle pain. Like, if you can do that with very low loads, right?
Yeah.
So if you're doing that and you're just like getting a pump or like feeling the burn and you're not using a load that's dangerous for you, how far can you push that?
So you can't handle it anymore.
Yeah. Most people are going to have like a built-in limit. Like, let's say somebody new is training. They're probably not going to be able to push to as high of a, and usually the lactic acid does correlate with the hydrogen. So like if you're checking somebody's blood level, like a person new to training probably can't push themselves as hard to get to that much burning relative to someone who, like you guys, you've been training for, you know, decades at this point. Like you're probably mentally able to push past that barrier where it's like,
yeah,
okay, it's not the first rep that burns a little bit that you're like, okay, I got to stop now. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, this is burning, this is good. Okay, I'm approaching muscular failure. Whereas somebody new to that, they don't have that. So how would you teach that to somebody? If they're like, how do I know what's that good pain versus not the good pain? And they're, you know, let's say they've been lifting a little bit, maybe 3 months in, they kind of know some basic movements, but they haven't really pushed it.
Well, to be honest, like that kind of what you're talking about, that burning, like to me, that's probably the only good pain you can push through. Anything else is probably there's something going on. So I would, if there's anything other than that. Now, some people may, that may be so unnatural to them that they're like, this has got to be bad.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
So they'll stop right at the first sign of that. Anything outside of that is probably something's happening, about to happen. So let's reevaluate what's going on. Is it a technique, a form issue? Is it a load issue?
And I know, Cameron, you like pain. You do Bulgarian split squats.
Yep. Yeah, I do like pain. For a while, I would kind of just, like, I have a lot of shoulder pain sometimes. I just kind of push through it, which is not what you should be doing.
And not the good pain.
Not the good pain, no. Like, as if a bone is grinding. But, you know, you got to get a big chest. That. Yeah, it's not. No, it's not that. But, yeah, it feels that way.
Sure.
If it was someone that was just kind of going through the motions, I think it's more of a mindset thing that you have to kind of guide them down the right direction. It's kind of something to decide on their own if they want something bad enough that they're willing to put in more effort. But yeah, if it's like a stinging pain, yeah, you should probably stop, or any sort of like grinding pain. Yeah.
As far as injuries go, I have two definitions of an injury here. So one of them is it's only an injury if I go to the doctor for it.
Okay.
And the other is any injury sustained during training that prevents the participant from training, working, or competing in any way for any period of time. So sort of a continuum there, but where would you draw the line of like something being an injury? Because we all have a friend who gets not injured quite a bit. You know, he just tweaks an Achilles maybe, or maybe his tricep is acting up just a little bit. I'm talking about Dr. Kyle Gillette. Yeah. But he's never been injured.
Yeah, just lots of tweaks.
I mean, your second definition, I think you can be injured and not have to go to a doctor for it.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, then even that has its two categories, or like my, you know, football coach used to say, are you hurt or are you injured? So you can be slightly hurt, slightly feel uncomfortable and be able to push through things.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never going to be, well, especially once you get to a certain age, I'll feel 100%, you're not going to feel great every day. You know, you probably won't feel great any day. Once you get a certain age, there's always something going on. But is it something small enough? It's slightly uncomfortable, but it's not necessarily a lot of pain. It's not actually an injury. You're just slightly hurt. I mean, you got to push through some things, but you got to be smart about it. And I guess for newer people, they may not know what's appropriate to push through and what stuff they should back off on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know if I can add anything to that or not.
Yeah. No, it's kind of a fun question because there are some people who, you know, they'll never be injured. Like they'll modify their training, they'll train around it, and that's something you can do. And both of you, I assume, have been injured at some point, or maybe you haven't. But how did you modify? your training?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Have you ever had to modify your training around injury or pain?
No. I mean, I guess so. I'll skip out on like, for some reason, it really hurts my shoulders if I do too heavy on flies and chest flies. So I'll just skip that.
So that's an injury?
No, it's a tweak.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I'll say, so I am modifying stuff about every day. So I'm currently dealing with a shoulder issue here and then a left hip issue. And depending on the day and how it's feeling, I'll adjust. Today was a really good squat day. My hip didn't bother me too bad, so I was able to do exactly what I wanted to do. There's some days I go into it, even if I try to warm up correctly like I normally do, sometimes it's just, for whatever reason, it's not feeling it. So I have to back off on my normal plan. And same thing with my shoulder. Those I would consider, I can work around them. So I guess not injury. Like I tweaked it. Yeah. The only serious injury that I had, this goes to the doctor part, I tore my Achilles.
Okay.
Before COVID. And so obviously that kept me from doing anything that I wanted to do. It forced me to change how I trained, as opposed to these other things where it's up to me to modify stuff along the way. So, but your whole thing about going to a doctor, that one forced me to obviously to go to a doctor.
Yeah. So that's the only time you've been injured.
Technically, I broke my arm when I was younger, but you know.
Okay.
Recent,
that's an injury.
Yeah. Yep. Sure. So broken arm, torn Achilles. There you go.
Yeah. How'd you tear your Achilles?
Well, I was dominating in a game of knockout. It was actually at Lifetime. All of us trainers were down in the gym. It was one of those. We were playing a game of knockout, and then like the winner got to like pick what the like circuit was that people did something, because we would do group stuff sometimes. And my strategy was, we were playing from the 3-point line too. And so my strategy was to shoot a three and take off and get the rebound off the board and put it up for a layup. And so it was getting down to like me and like two other people or three other people. And I jumped up, shot it, went to spring off to get my rebound. And I thought someone kicked me in the leg. I fell on my face. And my immediate reaction was, who just kicked me in the leg, make me trip? You know, I thought, I felt some pain. So I thought I like twisted my ankle because they kicked me. And when they said, nobody touched you, my first thought was, crap.
You thought they were gaslighting you.
Yeah.
I said, liars. No, my first thought was, I just tore it.
Oh, man.
Because that's what I always heard. Like, if you feel a pop, but obviously nobody touches you. So
yeah,
that was right before COVID. January 20th is when it happened, 2020.
Bummer.
Man, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
But you're back at it now. You said you were going to go for a run. You've got a history of a torn Achilles. And like,
you
never let it stop? You didn't say, oh, yeah, like, you know, some people are like, yeah, if it weren't for this bad knee.
Yeah.
You know the guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely not. No, I'm stronger now than I was then. I was ready to get back at it and stuff. I was asking the PT that I was working with, when can I start running? Because the Murph was coming up and I wanted to be ready for that. Mm. So
yeah,
I think I did Murph 3 months after surgery.
Okay.
That's pretty quick.
Because I was ready to, she was like, oh, you want to run? She's like, she's like, let's start really look. Cause I wasn't supposed to be there yet, but I was like, I think I was close enough. She let me do some like really slow something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so. I was ready.
Now, what about exercise equipment? So barbells versus dumbbells versus kettlebells, mm-hmm. exercise balls. Now, what's the best way to train?
Oh, gosh.
Dumbbell.
He goes dumbbell. I go, there's no best way.
Yeah. I think dumbbell for sure.
Bands.
Bands are good. I like bands.
Body weight.
Body weight's no, it's not very good.
This guy. They all have their place.
Yeah.
They all have their place. Depends on the goal a little bit. Another depends answer.
Yeah.
You know, but
for my goal specifically, I think dumbbell is
for your goal. Once again, depends on the goal.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make Cameron, you're going to name, if you had to do one body weight exercise for the rest of your life.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what muscle group.
One body weight?
Body weight exercise. What would it be? And then I'll ask Storm his.
Pull up.
That would be my answer.
Yeah. Now, what would yours be if you had to use, like, pick a dumbbell movement? Just because he said dumbbell first.
Yeah. A dumbbell movement.
So, any goal, any body part.
To me, it's just very obvious. Dumbbell movement.
I bet you you say it's obvious, and I bet you have a different answer.
Go ahead.
I would say, like, heavy goblet squats.
Yeah. I'd for sure say curls.
Yeah, different goals.
Yeah.
What about machines versus free weights?
Yeah, free weights. Most of the time, free weights.
Yeah, I mean, I think for
I didn't realize he was going to give me pushback on this.
Well, I mean, yeah, for like mobility and everything, I think free weight would be the best way to go. And stability. But like, if you're trying to grow, I think machines can be very useful. It's in like just size of muscle.
Didn't say they couldn't be useful. He just asked which one.
Yeah.
Would be best.
Which one would be best? Probably
free weight. There's a place for everything.
Yeah, free weight for sure.
Controversy. How about direct ab work? What if you just do heavy squats? Do your abs get worked enough doing that?
What's the goal?
Just a stable core.
No, that's probably
yeah. Yeah, I think if you like did heavy squats, heavy lunges, deadlifts, that sort of thing, if you actually braced the correct way, now if it's superficial and like you actually want the blocky abs and stuff, I mean, you got to do ab work. You got to contract it.
Yeah, aesthetically, yeah, you have to do ab work for that.
What is your threshold, both of you guys? So if I say like heavy squat, it's relative, right? So let's take it as like a multiplier of your body weight. So if you weigh 200 and you can squat X amount, what is a heavy squat?
For like a normal person. I mean,
For a normal person or from ourselves?
Whatever answer you like.
Okay, I'll go from ourselves, yeah.
See, my brain would go to like to the normal person because of all the people I see in the gym. Yeah. So like if a guy gets to... Actually, in class, if somebody gets to 315 or more, then I think that's pretty, like, that's good. I was going to say 225 at first, but that'd be more from like people that haven't been lifting much at all. Like, that's going to be super heavy for them. And if they get that, it's going to be like
people that haven't been lifting.
I'm just thinking how heavy that is for me, but go ahead.
Okay. No, yeah. He says he doesn't do squats.
I don't squat.
He's like 225. He's over there sweating.
I'm sweating right now.
But you bench how much?
I don't bench either. Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Machines only.
I would say a lot of people, machines only. Oh, I for sure thought you were going to like know exactly what you bench, but you don't touch a squat rack.
I don't know. Some people 2 like something that. Last time I benched. That was a couple years ago.
Okay. I was just going to make fun of you if you benched more than what you thought squatting was, what heavy squat.
Honestly, I probably could.
Yeah. But yeah, I think putting like, so if you got a 200 pound guy that's squatting in the neighborhood of like 300 pounds, or like that's take good. A, you know, 100 pound gal that's squatting in the neighborhood of like, body weight or like body weight times 1.5.
I was like, give me 1.5 times the body weight.
I think that's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What about flexibility? Is that important?
Yeah.
Or I guess I should say flexibility and mobility.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd say very important.
So just a simple yes. It's important. How do you get there?
With work.
With work. All right. Next question. Does cardio kill your gains?
Oh, yeah.
No. I was hoping you were going to stick with yes.
Yeah, no, I can't stick with yes. No, it does not kill your gains.
But what if you're training for a marathon?
Yes.
Does cardio kill your gains if you're training for a marathon?
Yeah. If you go from like bodybuilding training to training for a marathon, yeah, for sure.
I literally thought you meant a marathon runner doing cardio to get ready for a marathon. Does it kill your gains? Where the gains would be the cardio? That would be the
goal. If that is what you were saying, then no.
No.
I don't know if you're saying as a joke.
Any objective or angle here. I'm just asking the question.
He's lying. I think the normal population, if they go from training a certain way for size and then they are like, oh, I want to do a marathon. So let me spend the next 4 to 5 months training for a marathon and not prioritizing eating enough to keep size as well as training for the size, they're going to lose their gains. But like doing actual cardio now, it's not going
to. Yeah, I would say, I mean, yeah, if you go to that extreme, like when you first presented the question, my thought was, somebody who lifts like starting to do cardio while they get on the stairs a little bit like, no, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
And I think that's the important.
You need that. Your heart needs that, please.
Yeah. The important take, like the general population, you would have to be almost intentional about it to overdo cardio. You're not going to accidentally do too much cardio.
Like training for a marathon, being intentional about it.
Yeah. It's like, oops, I just started running 80 miles a week. Whoops.
Yeah. Oopsies.
Yeah. Tracking nutrition. Can you just eat big and get big?
What do you mean by eat big?
Well, I've seen...
Give me that cow. There.
Yeah, I've seen this guy come in with sub sandwiches from Q-Trip and Smoothie King.
Yep.
And he's like, it's okay, I'm bulking.
Yeah. Some people call that healthy. But for my regular...
Who calls that healthy?
Smoothie King is pretty nice. Pretty good macros. And so is sub sandwich.
All right. In post, we're definitely going to put up like the worst shake from Smoothie King.
There you go.
Yeah, when you say pretty good
2,000 calories. It's got the ice cream in it.
150 grams of sugar. So we'll put that up on the screen in post.
I think you can eat big and get big, but I think if you want to prioritize gaining lean mass and not a whole lot of subcutaneous
then
fat.
Then you have to dirty bulk.
No, not if that's your prioritize. No, I mean, yeah, you can definitely dirty bulk and get big. But I think it's better to clean bulk. That way, if you do want to lose some of that extra body fat you gained, it's not as much. It's a lot easier and it doesn't take as much time.
Yeah. And what do you guys think as far as a reasonable amount of weight gain, like per week or per month? So let's say someone is like, I want to do a 6-month block of not necessarily a bulk, but just to put on some strength. They know they're going to put on some fat, put on some muscle, but they don't want to, you know, worsen their health. Or they don't want to, you know, put on too much fat and get, you know, fluffy.
Yeah, 1 to 2
per week.
Per month.
Okay.
You're talking about gain, like, yeah, if it, like if you want it to be on the cleaner. Scale.
Right? Yeah,
I mean, if you want to, if you're gonna quote unquote dirty bulk and you want to see that number shoot up there, then you can sure gain fat along that. But yeah, if you want it to be pretty clean and try to keep the body fat.
So
down.
You're looking at like 1/4 pound a week, or maybe 1/2 pound.
Yeah.
No, 1/4 pound a week. You said 1 to 2 pounds a month. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. I think it also depends on the gender as well as the person.
Sure, sure.
But for a male, I think that's pretty reasonable.
And how long can you bulk?
In terms of like bulk and cut or like bulk and maintain?
Can you perma bulk?
Oh, for sure. You can perma bulk. So it depends.
Should you perma bulk?
Yeah, you should. If you're not doing like, if you're just strictly like doing lean bulking and exercising 4 to 5 times a week, I think you can perma bulk. But if you're taking 500 milligrams of Tren, I don't think you can perma bulk.
This is the first time that anabolics have come up.
Yeah.
So 500 milligrams of Tren, that's a lot.
Yeah, but people have taken it. It was over exaggeration.
So if you're cultivating mass. I think Derek with More Plates, More Dates did a video years ago when he talked about a cycle he did where he was, I want to say he used the words bloated disaster.
He was taking a lot of orals, I think.
He was cultivating mass.
Yeah.
So that's like a intense, dirty bulk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely not what you want to do for a long period of time. I think that's a quick way to
speed run life. So it depends on how hard you're pushing it. So you could like clean bulk.
I think so. I don't know if you have an opinion on that.
Clean, yeah.
Yeah, clean bulk for sure.
Yeah, and the way I look at this with nutrition, like if I'm trying to hit X number of calories, sometimes I just want calories that are palatable, like go down easily. Mm-hmm. So I'll front load my healthier foods in the day, right? So my breakfast may be like a bunch of hard-boiled eggs, some blueberries, and some, I don't know, sourdough toast with like avocado mash. So I'm getting a lot of that fiber, getting a lot of that polyphenols, getting a lot of nutrient content. And then dinner can be more relaxed, right? So if I want to add, I don't know, just a couple pizza slices to my dinner for extra calories, then I've already front-loaded my nutrition. I kind of look at it like an 80-20 principle.
You sound like the people that think they're eating healthy trying to lose weight. Yeah. But like they do pretty good for through a lot of the day, and then they get to dinner and just everything goes to shit.
Yeah, yeah, but it's swallow 2 pizzas.
Because
yeah.
I would be trying to go up in weight. So I just do the opposite of what. So if I think of someone, what do people struggling to lose weight do? It's like add some extra pizza to dinner.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think that makes sense.
Yeah,
what you're doing now. I mean, I would just do that throughout the day. I mean, not the pizza, but you don't have to eat that clean. You can just have.
Yeah, but if I have a pizza for breakfast, I feel like
I've done it.
Make breakfast pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing that for a while in my bulk, actually.
Yeah, I just feel like the rest of my day is going to be sort of thrown off. Like, I'm going to be a little bit more sluggish. Like,
that's
I'm not going to feel quite as good. But if I do it, like, with dinner, like, I don't necessarily care what I feel like from, I don't know, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah, I will be honest and say that I really didn't feel the greatest.
Yeah.
But I think
pizza for breakfast every day?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't every day. It was probably 2-3 times a week. Just whatever was left over from the pizza I didn't finish last night.
Oh, wow.
Pizza
there
for
dinner
there it is.
And breakfast?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get the calories in. This is the first time I ever bulked, so. Or like actually bulked.
Oh, I thought this was on cut.
That's why it didn't work.
Yeah. No, not on cut.
Can you cut on only pizza? Remember when like the if it fits your macros guys would do that? Like they would try to cut on like ice cream and just all this junk.
Well, that's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can cut on only pizza. I think it would be very healthy though. It just really comes in down to calories in, calories out.
I mean, the macros on pizza are pretty fat heavy. So
yeah,
be hard
how
to
much
get.
Pizza are you eating?
Yeah, I think as long as you're eating in a calorie deficit, regardless of what the food is, you'll lose weight.
I was thinking like only pizza. Like it would be very difficult to cut if you're like, all I can eat is pizza.
It'd be very hard to do, yeah. But you could do it. I don't see why you couldn't do it.
You going to do it?
No, I wouldn't.
I'm sure there's somebody out there somewhere that's trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone watching this wants to do a only pizza cut and post your results and your blood work, it's not recommended.
Yeah. Like, well, I actually gained 20 pounds.
I would watch that video. Yeah. Now, how many grams of anabolics have you each used over your lifetime?
Absolutely zero.
It's okay to be honest.
Negative one.
I believe you. I don't know. How many grams?
Yeah, grams. So if you take, like, let's say somebody's on 100 milligrams of testosterone a week.
Right.
That's like, what's that? 50 weeks in a year. So that's 5 grams.
Yeah, well, I usually
take... 5 grams a year is like a TRT replacement.
So a regular TRT is 200 milligrams. So that's already 10 grams a year. And on top of a bulk, which is usually close to a gram a week. Now, let me be – obviously, it does not look like I've done it, but I have. I don't know. Maybe 50 to 60 grams.
So a lifetime's worth almost. Well, I guess you live longer than 50 or 60. But you're probably not on TRT for longer than 50 or 60 years.
No. I mean, I guess I would be. That might be over-exaggerating. I don't know. Maybe – I mean, if I've been on – if I just count the last 3 years, probably – 30 to 40 grams.
Yeah. And do people ever ask you about like supplements or like supplements? Like at the gym, like in your year, you said as like a personal trainer. Like it's discussed more openly now, I think. But like how often is it that somebody comes up to you and they're like, hey, do you know anything about testosterone or another steroid or growth hormone or something like that or peptides?
Yeah, not so much. Not so much to me. Really much at all over my career. Now, I've never been one to look like I've ever been on anything.
Yeah, I don't think I have been.
I think maybe guys or people that more look like that, whether they have taken anything or not, probably get those questions more than like I've, you know, went through my phases where I tried to get big, realized that, you know, wasn't going to happen for me. So, not to the extent that my brain wanted it to be at one point when I was younger.
Like 250 at 8% body fat.
Yeah. Big. Svelte.
Yeah.
So I honestly don't get those questions.
You
regular supplements, yes. Supplements, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody asks me about what gear to take.
Yeah. Cause you're like 6'2" and what do you weigh roughly?
I hang around 210.
210.
And you're probably. I think I weighed the other day, 207.
What are you, close to 10, 12% body fat, somewhere in that
range? I have not.
Your arms look pretty lean.
So I've not measured there done a in a long time. Yeah, I should do that. Yeah, it's been a while since I've done anything to see where my body fat is, so I don't even know.
Yeah, and you are about 6'1".
6'1", close to 210. I probably have lost some weight now just since I started my cut. And last time I got it checked, it was 14.8, 14.9% body fat.
Yeah, and for the listeners interested, I am a hair under 6 foot, so I'm 5'11 and a half or 3/4 or whatever. And prior to my injury, I was hanging out about 190, probably in that 10 to 12% range, probably closer to 12%. And I've lost a little bit of weight, but I've also replaced some muscle with fat.
Nice.
Because you know if you don't use it, muscle turns into fat.
Yeah.
Just like that. Yeah.
That's a good question. Does muscle turn into fat?
No.
Does fat turn into muscle?
No.
I've heard you specifically talk about friends you have or acquaintances you have that
I have
made this claim.
Yeah,
how do you respond to that?
Oh, at this point, I just don't talk to him anymore. He will not listen to anything. He's the most stubborn person I know. But he's convinced that fat turns into muscle. Like, no, you could use the fat to burn energy to exercise, but it's not going to turn into muscle. And he goes like, no, that's not true. That's what he says to me. I'm like, well, I guess we just can't be friends.
So you cut that negativity out of your life.
Yeah.
How would you I suppose you probably have a different approach to this. Let's say a client comes to you and they're like, well, I don't want to get too big because then if I stop working out, all that muscle will just turn into fat. How do you steer them in the right direction?
Wait, so somebody says they don't want to get too big because whenever they stop, their muscles are going to turn into fat.
Yeah.
I'll say, why would you assume that you're going to stop working out in the first place? I would address a different issue than what the issue you're trying to bring up.
Yeah. Like, you think you're going to get too big too easily?
No, I'm like, why are you starting it? Why are you starting this process now and already assuming you're going to stop? Why is your mindset there?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about mindset first before all this other stuff.
That's why you're a personal trainer. I would have not said that at all. Like, what are you, stupid? Yeah.
We're done here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you, I guess, what mindset do people usually, are they pretty bought in? Like, if you're working with somebody, like, they've made a commitment, right? They show up to a class or they were working with you as a trainer. So they're bought in to some degree. Mm-hmm. But how do you cement that? Right? Like, you talk to them, or what's your process?
Yeah, see what brought them there. See what they're, which is normally along the goals, what they're trying to achieve, whether if it's one-on-one or in a class setting. And try to give them stuff to slowly get them moving towards that goal. Having fun along the way, doing things that help them realize, like, hey, I can do this, whatever it is. Like, yeah, there's some level of commitment there, but if you do it the wrong way, that commitment's going to be gone because you're like, ah, crap, I shouldn't be doing this. You know, a lot of people when they're in for the first time.
Sure.
So it's showing them that everybody can do fitness, some form or fashion, whatever it may be. Some people, what we do may not be for them. And that's okay. Then I'll guide them to a different form or a different avenue, as long as they stay in it. It's just finding what works for people based on what their goals are, so they can enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you're gonna have any kind of success, you gotta enjoy what you're doing in some form or fashion.
And heavier on the positive reinforcement side, right, rather than like the negative or disciplinary side.
Yeah.
Like, hey, your form sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I only talk to people that way when I know them for a little while.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's positivity.
Yeah, because then that back and forth can become kind of fun. All right. Well, any arguments that you wish I would have had you guys make before we wrap things up? Or any other controversial topics we should have asked about?
No, I think me and Stormy agree on a lot of things.
You keep talking shit on CrossFit. Maybe we can come up with one. Like I said, I agree with some of the stuff that you say. I don't agree with everything. But
with me?
No, on the CrossFit side.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting if I get a debate. We can actually have a debate, because I think we just agree the entire time, with Fast and Fit Mike. I think me and him will actually have disagreements. So
Cameron is calling out Fast and Fit Mike.
Oh, wow.
You think you're a better running coach than Fast and Fit Mike?
No, not at all.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Yeah. No.
We'll tag him in this. We can make that
happen. Yeah, we can also cut it out, too, if we need to. But I would, yeah. I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah, because I'm going to ask specifically only run-specific questions. You're not going to get a
horrible
chance to talk
about
any gym exercises or nutrition. It's just all running, training, and programming, and Ironman.
I'll just ignore the question and ask my own.
Answer a different question.
Or answer a different question, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
About bicep curls.
About, yeah.
And machines.
The running machine.
And why you should stop running so much. Yeah.
It's a machine.
Yeah. No, this has been fun, guys.
Yeah.
We were hard on CrossFit. We poke a lot of fun, but that's kind of on brand for us. So CrossFitters out there, leave mean comments if you want. If you take the jokes in good faith, then you can leave nice comments as well. Let us know what you liked about the podcast, who's right, who's wrong, if they agreed too much, if they didn't agree enough. And as always, may God bless you with health and happiness.